Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
A favorite topic of most believers is God's love. A second favorite could easily be God's mercy. But how about God's sovereignty? How often do we appreciate and praise Him for His sovereignty? Actually, His mercy and His sovereignty very much go together, for without seeing His sovereignty, we can never fully appreciate His great mercy. This is the lesson of God's dealing with Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, and we will join the scene on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Dick, as always, appreciate your being here today.
Good to be here and really to touch this matter of God's sovereignty.
Bible readers, Dick, have had to ponder over this portion of the Old Testament. Of course, the story is very well known, but there are some interesting and even curious aspects to it, particularly regarding Pharaoh. He was quite a fellow, constantly changing in his attitude toward God and Moses. Let me read a verse from chapter 9, and this is verse 16. "But indeed for this cause I have made you stand, to show you my power, and to have my name proclaimed throughout all the earth." Dick, this is a clear indication that there's more going on here behind the scenes, so to speak. What's happening here?
As you said, Chris, Pharaoh is unique. In this section of the Word, we see these 12 conflicts and 10 plagues, and we see God hardening Pharaoh's heart, and we see God even causing Pharaoh to stand. Even Pharaoh, who's negative, needed help from God to stand, in a negative way, you could say. But these 12 conflicts with these 10 plagues transpiring in these negotiations between Pharaoh and Moses, we see God taking the opportunity to make His power known and to declare His name to the entire earth. That's what's happening behind the scenes. Apparently, there's just these conflicts and these plagues, and Moses is demanding, and Pharaoh is resisting and stubborn. But hallelujah for the life study. Behind the scene is something transpiring, something to bring us to another angle of appreciation of our God, and that is His sovereignty. We'll see in this broadcast, God's sovereignty is really what's behind the scene.
Well, Dick, we're going to join that scene. Here's Witness Lee with today's life study.
God didn't have the patience to deal with such a person. 12 conflicts. That means 12 times God sent Moses to negotiate, to deal with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was able to stand those negotiations because God made him stand. But this way, you could see God's sovereignty in 2 aspects. Number one, on the one hand, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And on the other hand, God strengthened Pharaoh to stand. God said, "I have made you stand." God all the time hardened Pharaoh's heart, not to be subdued, not to submit himself to God daily. God hardened his heart, and God realized Pharaoh probably would not be that strong. Pharaoh would give up. So God made him stand. That's what the reason that he was so strong. He was hardened and he was strengthened. Pharaoh was unique in human history in this one thing. You read your Bible. It's not a small thing. God came to a person 12 times, day after day. But this man was never subdued because, on the one hand, his heart was hardened. And on the other hand, his physical being probably was strengthened. God made him strong to stand this kind of exhausting negotiation. This was the reason that Paul in Romans 9 said, according to God's word to Pharaoh, God is sovereign. God has his will. It's all up to his sovereign will. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will harden whom I will harden. Don't think God put Pharaoh aside that God wouldn't use him. No, no, no. Two persons there were both used by God. Moses was used, Pharaoh was used. So now you understand why God said, Pharaoh, I have made you stand in order to show you my power. Also, in order to declare my name through all the earth. It was through these 12 negotiations. It was through such a long period of dealing that God came in again and again and again, 12 times with 10 plagues, that God was fully made known to us. In this aspect, to know God's love is easy, but to know God's sovereignty is not so easy. Sovereignty means absolute right, absolute authority, absolute power. He's sovereign. Sovereignty and mercy were all manifested there with two characters, two figures. Pharaoh, for God's sovereignty, Moses, for God's mercy. And these two figures were demonstrating God's sovereignty and mercy.
Dick, as we mentioned in the introduction today, we're talking about God's sovereignty and his mercy. In Exodus, the Lord uses this encounter between Moses and Pharaoh to convey both of these aspects of his being. And I want to ask you to comment on the point that it's very easy to know, or shall we say appreciate, God's love, but it's much more difficult to know and appreciate God's sovereignty.
That's true. And that's why God has given us this portion of the Word. In fact, our brother mentions that this section of Exodus is dedicated to showing forth God's sovereignty. It is easy to appreciate God's love, but how do you really see and appreciate God's sovereignty? It takes these 12 conflicts, 10 plagues, all the negotiating, the demanding of Moses, the resisting by Pharaoh, to actually see and appreciate God's sovereignty. So we need this whole section of the Word. And what is God's sovereignty? God's sovereignty is his absolute right, his authority, his power. And that is, he can do what he wants to do. We need to appreciate this. We're not here to take a vote. God is sovereign, and that's it. We're here to say, amen. And in this case, with one person, he hardened his heart. With another, he showed mercy upon mercy upon mercy. So this section of God's Word unveils to us this precious point concerning God's sovereignty, one of his attributes. We do easily appreciate the attribute of love. You know, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But do we really appreciate his sovereignty? We can also pick up some appreciation of his sovereignty when we look at the book of Romans, chapter 9. 15 says, for to Moses he says, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whomever I'll have compassion. So then it's not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. So then he has mercy on whom he wills, and he hardens whom he wills. These conflicts are really brought to light through Paul's writing in Romans chapter 9. The Lord uses Paul to unveil this attribute of God, that is, his sovereignty, showing that God has the full right to do whatever he wants to do. In fact, we brothers, while we're enjoying this broadcast, we're here appreciating the fact that God's sovereignty positively over us is to allow us to speak for him, to speak about him, to enjoy him, to turn to him, even to do this broadcast, is God's sovereignty in a positive sense. On the other hand, when you see Pharaoh, that's God's sovereignty in a negative sense. He hardened his heart. But God will harden whom he will harden, and he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. I hope all of you who are listening just appreciate God's sovereignty positively, even over you this minute while you're driving, while you're sitting at home, wherever you are listening. Just the fact that you have a heart to listen is God's sovereignty in his mercy to you. We have to say hallelujah for this precious attribute of our God.
Well, we're hearing a lot, Dick, both in the verses that you've quoted and what we've heard in our message thus far. There is a connection between sovereignty and mercy, and really it takes one to fully appreciate the other. That's the focus of this coming section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
When you worship God for his sovereignty, what comes up? This, I tell you, you will say, Lord, I just worship your sovereignty because I fully realize your sovereignty just reflects your mercy. I'm weak, sinful. Sometimes I'm also rebellious, but Lord, thank you. I have a heart, not only soft, but softened, so softened. And I have a heart that always like to repent to you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You have given me a softened heart. I tell you, if you don't know how to worship God for his sovereignty, you could never realize his mercy to you. What are we doing here? We are in his presence, listening to his word, seeking after his heart, liking to be one with him. We are under his sovereign mercy. When I was young, 19, every morning was the good time for me to make confessions, the good time for me to repent. Every morning, it was a new beginning, yet I had something not so right. So in the morning, just like every morning after you rest up, you wash up yourself. In the same way, every morning, many young Christians, they would repent. They would have a spiritual washing up. This is mercy. You have never been destined to be a Pharaoh. You all have been predestined to be sons of God, sons of mercy, to be sons of obedience, not sons of disobedience. Don't read these chapters as story pages. This is a very precious poetry showing us how sovereign God is. In the Bible, there is a section to show us God's sovereignty. You have to ponder on these pages until you see, oh, my Father, I just worship your sovereignty. For years and years, I worship you because you are so lovable. But I never worship you for your sovereignty. There is a section in this book showing me your sovereignty. Now I am one of your child because of your sovereign mercy. Our heart has been inclined by God's sovereign mercy to this very one whom we are seeking. We all have to see God's sovereignty. We are today's Moses. We are not today's Pharaoh.
Dick, God's sovereignty and God's mercy. God needed Pharaoh to demonstrate his sovereignty. During the course of these 12 encounters, sovereignty is the primary aspect that the Lord is revealing. But then, of course, Moses demonstrates something else. Moses demonstrates God's mercy. So what does it mean, Dick, that without seeing God's sovereignty, we could never really know his mercy?
Because if you know God's sovereignty, you will thank him for his mercy. How do we know and recognize his sovereignty and his mercy to us positively? We see it in the ability to repent. We see it in the fact that God has given us a softened heart. This is too precious. The fact that you have a desire to listen to this program, to hear God's word, the desire to call out on the Lord's name, Lord, I believe in you. I love you. This is God's sovereignty in his mercy. The more you see his sovereignty, that is, his absolute right, his power, his authority to harden whomever he wills, and also to soften whomever he wills, the more you will appreciate and thank him for his mercy. The more we see his sovereignty and understand his sovereignty, the more we'll appreciate and thank him for his mercy to us. So, as I mentioned earlier, even the fact that we, at this very moment, could turn our heart to the Lord, could be loving him, could be hungry for him and hungry for his word, desirous that things between us and him would be right, and the fact that we have the ability to repent, this is a real indication of God's sovereignty positively in his mercy. He has willed to cause us to be softened. He has overseen, and he has the absolute authority to make us who we are. He has the absolute authority to make one person hard, to make another soft. And here we are, even during this broadcast, we're here as people who are soft to the Lord, turning to him, believing in him. This is to see God's sovereignty and to appreciate and to worship him even for his mercy.
Dick, it was touching, even as Witness Lee was sharing, that there came a time in his life where he could very easily even worship God, not just for his love or mercy or grace, but worship him for his sovereignty. Well, Dick, let's go back to Witness Lee as we conclude our life study message today.
What is the right way for us to work for God? The right way for us to work for God is just to represent God, to be sent by God, like Moses. The right way is not to labor. Here, in this chapter, chapter 11, it says, to this point, Moses became a great person in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all Egyptians. Why? This old man, he didn't fight. He didn't even work so hard. He just came. Actually, he never came on his own. Every time he came representing God, he never said a word to Pharaoh of his own. He always said, Pharaoh, Jehovah, our God, told me to say something to you. You see, Pharaoh was there not listening to Moses. Pharaoh was there listening to God. Pharaoh was not dealing with Moses. Pharaoh was dealing with God. Moses was a real ambassador of God. He was the real sent one. We don't need to endeavor that much. I don't mean that we have to be idle. We have to be lazy. But not in the secular way. We better spend time to contact the Lord, to spend time to pray, even not to pray for our work, to pray to contact him, to pray to touch his heart, to pray to sense what is his feeling, to spend time in his presence until your being will be saturated with his being and he will send you. This is the right way. We don't need to rain too much. It is not up to him that rains, neither up to him that wills, but up to the one who shows forth his mercy. We have to represent him. We must be his sent ones. We, the sent ones of God, must have the assurance that when we go out representing God. We are nothing, but we represent someone. We don't say our own word. We don't do our own work. And we don't pray for ourselves. We just are one. We are the burning bush. And God, the Lord, is burning fire. The fire and the bush became one in the burning. We are the bush, and he is the fire burning. And we and he are one. When this burning is going on, it's hard to say who is who. It's hard to say whether this is the bush or the fire. Actually, they are one. We must have the assurance that when we go out, we go representing the very one whom we serve and whom we represent. And we must have the assurance we are not going out by ourselves. This is the proper way to work for God, to work for the Lord. This portion of the word, you could see two figures: Pharaoh, a stubborn one, and Moses. You may see these, was the one making God manifest to people. And Moses was the one representing God, executing God's will.
Dick, this was a very strong word, especially for those who serve the Lord full time. We're talking about the way to work for God, and we heard a lot, but the short version is that the way to work for God is not to labor for Him, but just to represent Him. Dick, how do we become the ones who are qualified to represent God?
Like you said, Chris, the Lord's desire is not that we just merely outwardly labor or endeavor, but we would be His representatives. We would be God's representatives mainly by spending more time with Him in prayer. The more we practice to contact Him, opening our whole being to Him, the more we become one with Him. We actually become His ambassadors, His representatives. Even the word apostle in the New Testament just means sent one. So the key here is that we would be people who spend much time contacting Him. Then we're not just doing an outward labor or an outward endeavoring, but we're actually in oneness with God, and we're there. Whatever work we're doing as God's representative. Our brother in this portion brings us to this favorite verse of mine, 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. God's desire is that we don't just labor outwardly or merely endeavor. Even in doing this broadcast, we brothers don't desire just to labor in an outward way or endeavor in an outward way, but we desire more than anything at this moment to be one with God through contacting Him, touching Him, enjoying Him. One of the simplest ways to contact Him is just to say, "Oh Lord Jesus, I really love You." As we practice to pray, contact Him, and not even just to pray about so many things, but just to enjoy Him, spontaneously we become united with Him in a living way. We become one with Him. Then we are God's representative. We're His ambassador. We are the little apostles, the sent ones, bringing God to man. This is the real work. This is the real endeavoring. It means we're in oneness with God Himself. Then God can fulfill His eternal purpose. May we be those who don't just outwardly endeavor and labor, but those who spend much time to love the Lord, contact the Lord, and be with Him in our spirit in prayer.
Dick, I was thinking as you were speaking about that passage or that portion in the Gospels, and I believe it's Matthew, where many came to the Lord and said, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done many things in Your name?" And what was his response, Dick?
His response was, "I never knew You," which means there was no intimacy between them and Him. They were just doing their labor. They were just doing their endeavoring without Him. God's desire is that we contact Him, love Him, spend much time with Him in prayer. In this way, we intimately, affectionately, and genuinely know Him. And even we're one with Him. So whatever we do, we are in oneness with the God of the universe who is carrying out His heart's desire. May we all desire to be one with Him and exercise our spirit to have such a living that we would be God's representatives.
Amen. Dick, this has been a very enjoyable life study, as I think all of these ones in Exodus have been, and certainly as always appreciate your being part of it.
I appreciate being here, and I get help from every life study.
For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.